Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us as well, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And our thanks to HighSpeedWeb.net for streaming our signal 24/7, 365. York County Council member Christy Cox is with us today on our Straight Talk program, and she's become a big fan of Zoom, I can tell.
Oh, of course. You have to, right? It's a necessity. I'm ready for it to be over.
Yeah, I'm ready. But, you know, it was interesting when I had Trish start up on the show here, I think it was last week, the numbers that of people who've been tuning into these meetings, particularly the big public hearing, were pretty strong. It had a lot of people who have tuned into that thing.
There were a lot of folks that I think participated, and kudos go out to our staff for making that process happen as smoothly as possible. But I will say I've had a lot of folks since the public hearing that we had reach out and say that they had trouble actually making it through. They didn't understand how to be heard, but I do think that there's the potential that you could reach more folks this way. It's just there's a learning curve associated with it.
But it is different.
Very different. And very difficult.
It's hard to gauge emotion.
There's value in being sitting right across from someone and having an argument or a spirited debate, right, Manning?
Christy, how could you say that? Okay, so here we are. The vote has been taken. The deal is done. It was a split vote, 4-3. Did you anticipate it would be that close?
I just don't think I knew or predicted. I was in such a frenzy to try and get information out to my constituents because there were some changes that were made at the end that I did not understand, and that honestly I still don't understand. But I truly do hope that that what was passed is the panacea, the cure-all that everyone expects it to be. I hope it's great. And the majority has spoken, so we need to move on. My constituents are now still asking me questions that I can't answer, and that has to do with what does the city of Rock Hill and GT Real Estate have planned for these additional acres that were added. I don't know what those plans are, but if you look at the map, you can clearly tell that there's something going on, and there's something, and it may be very exciting, but the folks don't have the information. I don't have the information, so immediately after the last vote, I sent an FOI request, a Freedom of Information Act request, to the city of Rock Hill asking for any information related to those additional parcels and what is planned for that area. And I believe that I may have gotten an email early this morning, but I haven't had a chance to look at those documents. But one of the things that's going to be important for the folks that I serve, if you go to my Facebook account at the Christy Cox District 5, I'm going to put information up there as I get it and be able to provide what information I'm able to glean from that. So I think that was one of the parting questions that still is unanswered. But I really do, you know, one of the things that I think that's important, and also on my Facebook page, I've kind of outlined some of the things, the positives that I see from this, as well as some of the things that I think we need to take away from this as a learning experience. Honestly, this was the biggest property tax incentive package given ever in the history of the county and possibly pro rata throughout the state. And to do that in the COVID pandemic via Zoom, I think, was a problem, and I think caused problems that maybe could have been avoided, perhaps. Extending those incentives at the last minute, though, to the 800 acres, that was the part that I couldn't understand, because there's a large chunk of that that's in my district. A lot of those parcels are actually parcels that are owned by the city of Rock Hill, and it includes a golf course that's owned by the Panthers. And so there really is, and there's a gap in between there that suggests that perhaps there's some other planning that's happening. And I think what the public really just wants is they want to be informed, and they want to have time to be informed. And that was the issue that I had at the outset. I also think that while the majority supported this deal, I think the majority of our council did struggle with the amount of the incentives offered. And actually, once our finance director was able to get involved, I was pleased with a lot of the changes he was able to make. He was able to get in there and negotiate 3 times more investment rate to get the incentives. He was able to carve out some controls to make sure that all of the money that was being given would go straight towards the debt and not be used to finance other projects. But there were still things that could have been better. And I think we lost that opportunity back in the fall of 2019 when city leadership offered to do 100% of the property tax incentives. They've given all of that away. So basically, it doesn't matter how you politically spend it, the city of Rock Hill will not get $1 of property tax revenue from any of those parcels until the $225 million, $440 million perhaps, by the time you pay the interest off on those, that infrastructure is paid. So the cost to service this massive development is going to come from somewhere, and I think we're starting to see some of that happen with the water rate increase that the city has now announced, to their recycling efforts that they're now cutting back services. So, you know, I do think that we possibly could have had, and I think most probably would have had, a potentially better plan had we started out at the county level with our finance director in these negotiations, so that it would have been better for the taxpayers.
I suppose that's the easy thing to do, is to be the Monday morning quarterback. But I mean, have you thought about why you weren't able to get the county's finance director involved with this, I don't know, 6 months earlier?
I think that there was resistance to having him there, and I'm not sure exactly why. But the bottom line is what we're stuck with. And if you start with negotiations where you say, hey, I'm going to give you 100% of our property tax rate, what are you going to do, county? What are you going to do, school district? It poses really, really difficult problems. It certainly makes the Panthers think that you're not being a good negotiator, or you don't want them here if you're not giving them everything, when in fact what was being proposed is far out beyond anything that's ever been proposed in the county, far beyond that. And typically these fee load deals are required statutorily to be negotiated at the county level. And I think maybe having some of the information from this FOI request will enlighten us as to some of the other, you know, benefits that will come from the parcels. But to be honest with you, 75% of the property tax being taken from our schools, I think that's going to hurt them. That's going to cause some issues, and we need to figure out how to deal with that now after the fact and make sure that our schools and our teachers are protected, and perhaps consider eliminating them from future PHILO incentives. I mean, I don't think we should be taking money from that particular area of
But the school board agreed to that, correct?
This happened all the way back in 2019.
Right.
And yes, they did put in writing that they would be willing to go up to that. I do still think, though, that there's an opportunity here for us to go back, and I hope it does happen, that we go back and we revisit this and we look to see how to make things better, because I definitely believe that we could have saved the taxpayers and saved our schools some money had it been negotiated differently.
Well, we'll never know. You know, as we've said on the program before, there's only 32 of these teams in the whole country. And they could, you know, they could go. As a matter of fact, I had Jamie Gilbert on here from Lancaster County, and we know that they were romancing the Panthers to go over there, but it didn't work out, and we've got them here. So with that being said, I think it's important to point out, as Kevin Madden mentioned when I had him on the show, you all were able to put in what I would call a poison pill, in that if the Panthers do not perform according to the contract, you know, their assessment level is going to jump from wherever it is, 4% up to 6%, or whatever that's going to be. So you do have the incentive in there for them to do what they say they're going to do.
They certainly have a window of opportunity to get the investment in, and I hope, for the sake of this deal and for the sake of our community, that it happens exactly as it's been planned, and that it's, like I said before, I hope it's the panacea that everyone hopes that it will be. But I do think that we need to learn from the process. We need to change some of the ways that we address our economic development. And I do think it's important just to be honest about the fact that we struggled with these numbers, and that these numbers are higher than really I think they should be. And I think all of us were very excited for the Panthers to come here, and we're willing to kind of swallow that difficult number. But when it came time to add that to additional parcels and the impact that would have in the rest of the county, and not knowing exactly what the plan is under from the city or GT with these additional properties, was too much for me personally to overcome on the final vote without having more time and the ability for the public to actually participate meaningfully. So I feel like I've had my say now, and I feel like I've got my information out, and I do think that that we have opportunities to move forward, and I know that our council was doing everything that they thought was appropriate and right and that they thought would be beneficial, but you know, there's another side to that I think we can unpack, and I also think that we need to get information for our folks about what is the rest of the plan. And hopefully we'll continue to get information, and I can share that with my folks.
Please. I mean, and you pointed out you're going to put all this on your Facebook page.
I'm going to try to do my job to post that, and to as soon as I get information in a digestible format, I'm going to have to take a look at it and kind of understand it. But, yes, I'll also make it available to anybody who wants to look at it to the extent that I'm able to do that.
And you'll be back on this radio program to talk about it.
Oh, I love coming here.
I know you do. Now, one final question on this. It has nothing to do with the deal itself. But I'm interested when it's all over with, and it was rather a tense couple of days, I know, from all the council members being pushed one way or the other. A lot of people calling you, council members calling you. But the vote is taken, as you say, and it's time to move forward. As an elected official, is that tough to do when you weren't on the side that you wanted to be on? In other words, that your side did not prevail?
I'm very passionate about representing my folks. And yes, it does hurt when you feel like what you simply asked for was a little bit more time to understand this part that I just didn't understand, to be able to give them that information. So yes, it is tough, but at the same time, my job, just like I have three children, my job is to put other people's needs ahead of mine, and we'll get through this, and our council is great, and I think that I think our county council is a great group of folks, and I think their heart is in the right place, and we can agree to disagree, and we can move on, and we can do the business of the county well.
Good. And I'm reminded about, I had State Representative Gary Simmel on here, I don't know, a week or so ago. And we're playing some of his excerpts today on a Business Rock Hill program. And it was pretty interesting. He said, had this vote not gone the way that it did, that in his mind it would be like pouring a great big bucket of ice over the state of South Carolina for economic development and putting a big poster sign out there that we were not interested in economic development. Now, I know his heart and soul was in this thing from day one. He was involved at the state level in getting the legislation changed so that this could happen. But in his opinion, that's how big a deal this was for the future of your county.
There was a lot of political pressure, no doubt, to pass this deal. It's my concern is process, and it always is about process. You of all people should understand with the history that you have with your family that you need to make sure that you follow the process right. And that's the issue that I think that was missed a vote on here. And so I do think that there's, to some extent, some ice that's dumped on the program itself when the public didn't get information until after the pandemic hit and there wasn't a real public hearing. And so I think that there's opportunities to learn from that. But we're going to move on, and we're going to make this county the best place to live in, and we're going to do everything we can, and that includes the budget, which I think will be the next topic, so we don't have to dwell all on this.
You're right. And you know what we're going to do to break the ice?
Okay.
We're going to take our mid-program break.
That's good.
And remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road to Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. And, of course, as Christy knows, we hang out here every day at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Even though we don't really have dine-in, look at all the people that are in here getting their sandwiches and salads because they know why they come here. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week. The magic cue card is right here, Christy, at the count of three. Join me, please. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Slice.
Garden, 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 garden. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
Substation 2 is excellent. It's fresh. The buns just feel like they came out of the oven, and you can't beat the deli meat.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Our lives have changed tremendously lately. Founders Federal Credit Union wants you to know we are here for you. While our world right now may be uncertain, your money at Founders is not. Founders Federal Credit Union is fully backed by the NCUA, and Founders members have many ways to access their money at Founders. Our drive-thrus are remain open, many with extended hours. Our ATMs are fully serviced. Founders Online and the Founders app are available to you 24/7. Relax. We are your credit union, and we are here for you. Not a member of Founders? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
These days, there are plenty of ways to stay connected to the internet. Laptops, phones, tablets, games, you name it. But the more devices you use in your home, the tougher it is to get a strong, consistent Wi-Fi signal. Comporium's premium Wi-Fi kit adds multiple Wi-Fi access points throughout your home, eliminating dead zones and interference, while spreading your signal more evenly so you can enjoy a better online experience. Right now, get our premium Wi-Fi for only $9.99 per month. Premium Wi-Fi from Comporium. Connect your whole home.
Have you been personally managing your investment account? Are you happy with your results? Maybe you should consider hiring a genuine money manager. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see how they can help you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
This is Dr. Karen Jenkins, Emergency Room Director at Piedmont Medical Center. When someone is experiencing a life-threatening emergency, such as a stroke or a heart attack, every second counts. Piedmont Medical Center's emergency departments in Rock Hill and on Gold Hill Road in Fort Mill are open 24/7 to treat life's unexpected emergencies. Even in the middle of a pandemic, our commitment to providing safe, high-quality emergency medical care in our community remains strong. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the lunch special pricing.
I like the bread, good prices, and location.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Christy Cox is with us. She's a member of the York County Council, of course. And we're going to get into something else, which, of course, is a challenge this year. And that's your budget. But, you know, even though we're in this tough time economically, it's good that the county has a really strong record of squirreling away dollars. And you've got a nice, healthy surplus to help you get through this challenging year, upcoming year, I should say.
Right? Absolutely. And I do think that the county management has proposed a budget where there is no tax increase. These are tough times. We are using about $3 million in reserves to protect the citizens from a tax increase while we figure out what the effects of this COVID disaster will have on our community. With that said, the value of a meal still increased in that time. We're still projecting that, so a 2.5% increase. We are still on pace to pay off the GO debt by 2024, which is great. And looks like I'll be on the council then, and I hope that we follow through with what we wanted to do. At least what I understood we were going to do was just cut taxes potentially at that point in time once that's paid off, and I'm looking forward to that, and I hope that we have the opportunity to do that and COVID doesn't cause any issues with that. We do, for purposes of informing your public here that's listening, we have the public hearing on June 10th. Please come out to the meeting. We will actually be open for business then, and you will be able to show up and participate as previously done. And I hope that I will see some folks out there taking a look at that. We actually have second reading on the budget this Monday. And while I had hoped and really am disappointed that we aren't opening our offices up, I believe, you know, you can go get a tattoo Monday and you can go eat some dinner, but we're not opening it up. And that really was something I'm real disappointed about. I think we should have done that. But you can come and participate in a public hearing, my understanding, but they will not have the public comment that we typically have at the outset. That probably will be the main difference. Couple of items that we are kind of still trying to discuss and that have been discussed heavily at our public, at our workshops where we've discussed our budget, is how to address some issues. The city of Rock Hill has announced that they're going to increase the water rates 15%, 3% sewer rate increase starting in 2021. My understanding is this will have an impact to the budget, the county budget, to the tune of $750,000. $750,000, $750,000.
And that's because you all buy water from the city.
The user fees, the likelihood is that will be passed on to the users, but this is substantial as far as, and I asked staff to look into this. There's never been a rate increase this high ever. And one of the concerns is the city overcharging for utilities to subsidize its general fund. So $8.5 million were taken from its utility fund and dumped into the general fund. And so I think, you know, there's some concern there is that an issue that we need to take a look at? The net effect is basically that it's going to increase and cause some significant issues to folks. It may hurt our businesses, especially in the unincorporated areas, from growing and thriving. We need to figure out how to address that and how to help them. And it seems like that this may actually impact our lower income families who get hit the hardest by the way that this is done. So, you know, the council is taking a look at that, trying to figure out how this will impact our budget and what needs to be done in this budget cycle to address that.
So have you, not you, or the staff at the county level contacted their peers at the city level to ask them about this transfer of the $8.5 million from the utility fund to the general fund?
I believe that's happening, and I believe that we're going to take a close look at it and get some information and okay. See where we are with that.
All right.
There's also this question about the city announcing its decision to cut recycling services. I'm not sure if that's definitive yet, but I think we need to look into that too to see whether or not that's going to increase or cause any problems with the budgeting in that capacity.
Is that a result of the fact that they're just not taking as many things in the recycling world now because of China's not buying what they used to buy?
Well, it's no doubt that there is no market. We've flooded the market with the recyclables. With that said, folks have been trained that's a good way to be a steward of our community. And if you say you're going to stop doing that, and then it basically folks just start dumping it into the convenience centers, then it's going to still create a cost that we have to address.
Because I know
I'm not sure that's kind of moving things around, and I don't think that's an effective way of dealing with that cost issue.
Because I know I use a convenience center, the county's convenience center, every week, and I can tell you that things that we used to separate and put in certain bins are now telling us to put in one bin simply because there's no market for it.
Well, and part of that had more to do with the fact that how we were addressing staffing when it comes to COVID, and putting your hands on that was a problem from a recycling and sorting that sort of thing. So I do have some good news to share with folks.
Please.
is that the press release is supposed to go out today from the county that our convenience centers will be back to full operation, or at least that's the intent as I understand it. Thursday, they have tomorrow, when typically they're closed. Actually, today, typically we're closed, and tomorrow it should open back up, and we'll be accepting everything that we normally do. And it's my understanding that we won't have the traffic control issue to address, which has caused some problems with folks in the past. So that will be exciting when that gets opened back up, and hopefully that will happen tomorrow.
Well, I've said on this program 100 times that two of the greatest things I think the county has ever done, I say three. Number one is buying that 2,000 acres out there that you all
Amen.
Did a year ago. Keeping it from coming rooftops, and there's going to be lots of trees and paths and all that kind of stuff. Second thing was the convenience centers, which was done years ago. Because I've lived here long enough to remember the old green boxes. And when you go up there and you dump your stuff into the big old green box, and who knows who's down in the middle of the green box, hey, watch that stuff coming in. I had that old experience. And the Pennies for Progress, which had been a great program.
Absolutely. Those are good.
Three great things.
One of the other issues in the budget that I think is being debated quite heavily by council, and they're still getting questions answered, is the CVB funds. As you know, the county in the past has allowed the CVB to have a significant amount of the HTAX funds. And in this case, there are HTAX funds in municipalities and there are HTAX funds in the county. What we're talking about are the funds that are generated by businesses for hospitality reasons that are in the unincorporated areas. And right. So the question is, what's the best use of those funds? I know that Billy Dunlap has worked very hard to become basically weaned off of the county HTAX funds. And the question now is, do we need to take a closer look at the funding mechanism for the $300,000 that the CVB wants to give to the city of Rock Hill in order to basically, as I say it, pay to play to market things. And I just think the city does a good job in and of themselves without having those funds, and I'm not sure it's a good expense for us to be using those funds in that area simply to have our name on a banner. And so, you know, there's a lot of discussion on that, and Billy is, to his credit, sent me an email and wants to sit down and explain to me in detail why he thinks that's important, and I'm certainly going to listen to him and be objective and open-minded, but it does seem like we're moving funds from the county hospitality to address something that won't necessarily increase that. And so
I thought these were dollars that the hotels had agreed to with the county last year when you all cut $300,000 from his budget. He had to go out and try to make that up, and he worked with a number of the area hotels to have them, you know, based on occupancy from these events that he was bringing, they would basically write an extra check back to the CVB. This is over and above the H tax, I think.
Well, it really doesn't matter how you look at it. If at the end of the day you're giving $300,000 to an entity that you don't have to do that to, and that's county funds that county's being asked to give to you, then I think that we need to really evaluate whether or not that's going to improve our unincorporated area and whether or not we need to go into reserves to ensure that that happens. And I think that's the biggest concern here is giving someone $300,000 simply to have the right to market them or to put your name on a logo. That's really probably not the highest and best use of those funds.
I'm like you. I have not talked to Billy Dunlap. I don't know what the, I really don't understand the proposal and all the details in it, but we'll find out. So what else is with the budget? I mean, is there anything else on this list that, I don't know, is of concern to you? I mean, I know, and again, we want to repeat, the county's got has a healthy fund balance, about $38 million, and you're able to dip into that to cover this shortfall, and hopefully this will be a one-year-only proposition. But you're well-heeled. You could do this for a couple of years easily without any significant impact on your operations.
Well, I mean, we always have things that we need to improve and that we need to make more efficient. I think the fire service is one that's near and dear to my heart. The volunteers in our fire district, they just go beyond the call of duty. And we owe them the duty to listen to them, to help with the plans for changing our fire service, how we can make it better. And so I think when we look at, you know, in this case, there is a recommendation from county management that we increase the funding on this side about half a mil, which is $500,000. We need to give them an opportunity to have a say in that and for them to be involved and be a partner in how we change our fire service. So that's probably one of the other areas that I think is a hot topic that or something that's very concerning to me. And I, before we close out this budget year, and then I expect that the county will have a lot more exciting things coming along and new things to do once we get through this budget process.
Well, I tell you what, if you've hung around any of these volunteer firemen, it's a very unique culture. I mean, the fact that these men and women, they work regular jobs, and all their free time is basically devoted to being a volunteer fireman in some capacity.
Right.
And when the fire bell rings, they run out the door, leave their job, and go put the fire out. It's amazing. And they've got their challenges as well, which is why they've had to add some full-time staff, just because it's harder to get enough volunteers to do what needs to be done, especially in a growing county like this. All right, Christy Cox, you've done a good job. You thought we wouldn't be able to get through this show, didn't you?
I don't know if it was me or if it was you. I don't know.
We'll have to let everybody tune in before the show so they can find out what goes on behind the scenes. Well, that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk broadcast live from Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. And, of course, we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week. Come on, Christy, tell them how we do it now. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.